the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this morning's Gospel reading, we hear about the great miracle, Christ raising a dead man, bringing that person back to life. In some ways, this book and account of the raising of the widow's son parallels that of the raising of Lazarus in John's Gospel. I would like us to focus today on another word that deals with compassion. Last week, we looked at two important words. Does anyone remember what those two important words were?
Mercy and compassion.
Mercy and compassion. Now, does anyone remember what the difference is between compassion, ikdirmos, and mercy, eros?
This is a real compassion
test of your mental retention. We feel compassion. We co-suffer with the person. In English, that is what compassion is, to co-suffer. With mercy, as I tried to stress last week, if you are the judges and I am convicted, I appeal to your mercy. I appeal to your not having just compassion on me, but to pardon me, to forgive me. This distinction is extremely important. Today, in this morning's gospel of the raising of the widow's son from the dead, we have another word that focuses on compassion. We'll get to that word in a moment. For now, I would like to ask all of you, in hearing this gospel, how many heard this gospel this morning? Okay, so now I can put you on the spot. To whom is the attention of Christ focused on?
The widow.
On the widow. On the widow. And what is the key word that Christ says to this widow? Or actually, before he says anything to this widow, before he says, do not weep, what do we know about the Lord and his relationship to this woman? Say it long.
No, he has compassion for her.
He has compassion on her. Now, interestingly enough, the word ikdirmos is not used. Elios is not used. Esphagniste is used. Where's our hero? So you can make sure I stay on the straight and that we have a native Greek speaker here. This term also refers to, as the translation says, to compassion, but in a different sense than ikdirmos, especially with regards to the person of Christ. Christ has come to the village of Nain. There is this funeral procession of the only son, the only child of a widow. First of all, what does this indicate regarding the widow herself?
She has no support.
She has no support. She has no help. She is, with the death of her son, for all intents and purposes, left on her own. And this can, of course, put a woman, most especially, in a very difficult position. She loses her only son. There is this funeral procession to the grave. Jesus stops the procession. He has compassion on this woman. Is this reference to compassion? Is this reference to esplanisse? A reference to emotion or to something else? So we could spend a lot of time on this very short but important meeting. is compassion in this sense emotion or something else?
It's visceral.
It's
visceral because sati, sati, means the guts, the innards.
The guts, the innards. If we, for those who study Greek, this is a very interesting word. Just look at the etymology of this word. Yes, it goes back to removing the innards of the sacrifice. Those of a higher order, the heart, the lungs, the liver, not the intestines, not the bowels. It's the more noble of the innards that are being referred to. So, given that, what does this term compassion refer to? Not to emotion, but to something else. The very character, the very nature of Christ, and therefore the very character and very nature of God. God is the compassionate one. And it's very interesting. What do we know about the faith of this woman? Nothing. What do we know about the faith of her son? Nothing. So this compassion of God, or God who is the compassionate one, shows his love, his mercy, his co-suffering with all people, believers, non-believers. He is truly the universal God. He is truly the one who comes into the world, who takes on the sin and death of everyone, not just Jews, not just Christians. He takes on the misery, the sin, the death of everyone. The compassionate God is the God who comes into the world to give new life to all those who desire it, to all those who want to be lifted up by the living God, so that indeed this new life, this transfiguring life, which raises us up from darkness to light, from death to life, this new life brings us, renews us, renews the very innards of our existence, renews our nature, makes us to be who we were intended to be from all eternity. God creates us to be in communion with Him and with each other. God creates us to have life with Him and each other. And in order for this to exist, what is needed? This term, compassion, as Planich said, refers to something else. Not only inner being, but something else. It refers to love. St. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, says something very interesting. This is why, by the way, we have to always cross-examine English translations. In the letter to Philippians, St. Paul says, "For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus." Splachnis is the term that is used. And splachnis Christou Iesou. It is not just in the compassion of Christ Jesus, but it's even more intense. I want to be with you. God is my witness how I long to be with all of you with the love of Christ Jesus. In the love of Christ Jesus. When we hear in the Jovenine letters that God is love, this is what St. Paul is saying. It is because of Jesus Christ who has renewed me that I now become one who is love. one who is able to extend himself to the other, one who yearns to be in communion with the others. What Paul is saying to the Philippians, new life has been given to you. And as I tried to stress last week, this new life makes us like God. And if we want to push it, it makes us God by grace. And how are we made God by grace? By showing compassion and mercy, by loving the other, even though the other may despise, hate, and want to destroy me. This is the love, the compassion, and mercy of Christ that is revealed on the cross. This is the love, the compassion, and mercy of Christ that brings into our midst new life. Shortly after this reading, anyone familiar? Who's familiar with the Gospel of St. Luke? Better read the text. Shortly after this event at Nain, disciples of St. John the Baptist come to the Lord. Does anyone have seen John the Baptist at this time in the Gospel of Luke? He's in prison. He sends disciples to Jesus. Does anyone remember what these disciples asked Jesus? Are you the one who is to come? Are you the anointed one of God? Are you the Messiah? And what is Jesus' response? Go back and tell John that the blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised. I am the one John is proclaimed. I am the one John has been entrusted to announce to the world. Let him know that indeed new life is being given in and through God's anointed one. These words, love, compassion, mercy, are so familiar to us, I would dare to say that this is like they are like, you know, grains of sand slipping through our fingers, or water slipping through our fingers. We say these words over and over again in the context of worship, in the context we come across them, in the context of scripture, reading the scripture. We use this kind of language within the church, and yet, so often this language is rendered bankrupt, because it doesn't become sounds. And it is up to us, this small community of Holy Trinity Cathedral, 165 Park Drive, at least it is up to us to give value again to this language, to give value again to these words, that these words truly have a power, and that power is to make known God's presence, God's love, God's co-suffering with us, and God uniting us, God giving us new life, regardless of our sin, regardless of our transgression. If there is repentance, if there is contrition, if there is a broken and contrite heart, this is the sacrifice God accepts. This is the sacrifice in which God reveals his mercy to us now and forever.